Hello and welcome to another episode of the Into the 99 podcast, where we've got 99 cards because Commander is number one. I am your hostess with the mostest, NecroZach, joined by my other lovely hosts, Brian, Ryan, and Lotus. You guys want to say hello?
Good afternoon. Hello. Morning, evening.
Noticeably missing from the cast today is Benson and Dan. Currently, they're in Quebec following up some leads on the missing link. So we wish them Godspeed and good luck. Hopefully you guys are able to find Sasquatch and bring him home. So that means we're left to our own devices. So you guys are in store for my, like, one of my absolute favorite decks that I own, and that is Negan the Cold-Blooded. A few disclaimers. If you're not a huge Walking Dead fan or you don't necessarily like the cards, we can understand and sympathize. I love the cards. I love the comics. The show's neat. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's one of my favorite actors. So this deck was automatically, like, as soon as they showed this guy off, I built the deck. There's also a pretty high price point on this deck. It's my most blingy deck. That doesn't mean that you have to, if you like the deck, that doesn't mean you have to have the exact same cards that I'm running. This deck will work very fine on a budget. So I just want to kind of get those out of the way before we get too far into it, because they can be a little staggering. I did not realize how expensive this deck was until I put it in Architect.
Yeah, like you built this. I remember the excitement as soon as these cards were spoiled, and you went out, and I think, like, within 2 to 3 hours, you had, like, a completed deck list ready to go. Like,
yes.
I was amazed by the speed that this deck was thrown together.
And it does, so you guys know, I always say it, but I like to remind people because it's my brand. Three things I like to do in Magic: reanimate, steal things, and clone things. This reanimates very, very well. What's so cool about Negan is, like, and it's one of the, like, I think hot topic, like, debates about the Walking Dead cards, is because he does something unique. If you don't know what we're talking about, this is Negan the Cold-Blooded from the Walking Dead Secret Lair. It's 2 and Mardu, so red, white, black, for a legendary creature, human rogue. Negan's a 4/3. It says, when Negan enters the battlefield, you and your opponent each secretly choose a creature that player controls. Then those creatures are revealed, and that player sacrifices those creatures. Whenever an opponent sacrifices a creature, you create a treasure token. So this is really fun and very on theme for the character. If you've read the comics or if you've watched the show, even the art is very significant of the first time we really get to see Negan in the show in the comics. So I was super, super pumped about all of this. And I think on stream, it leads to a lot of really fun interactions. Savala has been Lucille'd many, many times.
That's the one game and the reason that I can't stand Negan. It's just my poor Savala.
To be fair, we were playing a 5-player game, and yeah, Savala was, like, the easiest target. It meant that, like, I was getting multiple treasures and stuff. But so this deck is a very, it's not a combo-centric deck. It's a very, like, grindy, value-based deck, which is what I like to do. You know, like, I'm going to make people sacrifice stuff, make treasure tokens, create enough mana to reanimate stuff. There's a lot of really fun and interesting, like, cards in this deck, and I'm really happy about it. Like, whenever we talk about the Walking Dead cards, I just get a super smile on my face, because this is one of my, like, cherished decks, you know? So that's what we're going to be getting into today, is we're just going to be talking about Negan and this deck that I have brewed. So if you want to follow along at home, we'll have my Architect link set up on the link tree, but we're just going to go ahead and get into it. So I want to talk about treasure first. So I have a little section over here called treasure. This deck wants to basically utilize ramping through making people sacrifice stuff, or just the treasure, like, mechanic in general. So one of the first cards is Brass's Bounty. It's 6 and a red for a sorcery. For each land you control, create a colorless treasure artifact token with tap, sack this artifact, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. This is just going to ultimately, like, it's a late game card, so we can just double or triple up on our treasure, so we can do a bunch of really absurd things, whether that's just have a lot of mana to play big splashy spells, or just to be able to sacrifice something to get value out of it.
I rarely ever see this card get played.
And it's really silly, because you're It's almost a freeze spell. It reminds me a lot of like Peregrine Drake and the what's the other card? The Whale, and then there's still one more, but it reminds me of that vein, but in red, and it feels, I think, quote unquote, fair, because we're paying 7 mana, which means we're at least getting 7 mana back. You know, if you have any of the lands that tap for multiple colors at the same time, you're not going to get as much value out of it. Or if you play it later game, you know, if you have ramp super hard or something, like, you'll get more out of it. So it's kind of a free spell when you think about it. The next card is Dockside Extortionist. This, I feel like, this card is just super good. It bothers me that it's as expensive as it is, because I think every red deck could run this and it's okay, especially, you know, obviously for our format. But Dockside is 1 and a red for a 1/2 Goblin Pirate. When Dockside ETBs, create X treasure tokens where X is the number of artifacts and enchantments your opponents control.
I had to pick one up because I've just seen this. Whenever it hits the ground, it's a stupid amount of treasures, so I had to grab one.
I was lucky enough to actually get one of the commander decks this came in for £30 still, so convert that as you will. But yeah. A Dockside Extortionate in the UK I think is about £35 to £40, and I still got a precon for £30. If you get the opportunity, buy those precons.
I think Dockside's like 60 or 65 up here in the Great White North.
I guess I saw 72, all depending.
I paid 6 for mine because I got a proxy. If you guys haven't seen my Negan deck, I own the actual Negan, but I went through and I went through Atomic Ashes, and I actually got a few of my key cards, quote unquote, done as the Walking Dead art, and they're in black and white. So that was another reason why, like, I was really excited about this deck. I could, you know, do the whole Universe Beyond thing without Wizards necessarily having to give me the cards to do so. So my Dockside's Dwight from the comic, and he has Lucille and everything. I'll post pictures too on Instagram later, so you guys can take a look and, you know, tell me if you like them or not. But yeah, so Dockside Extortionist is just insane. There are a couple, not infinite loops, but there are a couple loops you can get into where you can play Dockside 2, 3, maybe even 4 times the same turn. And it becomes very, very ridiculous. You just kind of become enemy number one. Yep. Brian, you've seen that.
I was very upset with that game.
I've thought about adding, and this is something we can talk about a little bit later, but I've thought about adding X spells because I never realized how much mana I could generate in this deck. So that's something that we'll discuss later. But moving on to the next card, it's Gadrak, the Crown Scourge. It's 2 and a red for a legendary creature, dragon, 5/4. It's a flyer, and it can't attack unless you control 4 or more artifacts. That's fairly easy to do in this deck. And then at the beginning of your end step, create a treasure token for each non-token creature that died this turn. This card is also just another house in this deck. Like, Gadrak, I think, is super undervalued and underplayed in a lot of decks that could really take advantage of it, but this cares about any creature dying. So if we get into a situation where we're playing Gadrak and then we have extra mana to play something like one of our removal package creatures like Plaguecrafter or Fleshbag Marauder, this is going to net us a ton of mana at the end of our turn. And we do have some ways to really utilize instant spells, so Gadrak's super good. And he's a 5/4 flyer for 3. Like, you can't really argue with that.
So the next card, very excited about. Dan actually let me trade for one of these. It's Goldspan Dragon, 3 and 2 red. Creature Dragon, Flying Haste. Whenever Goldspan Dragon attacks or becomes the target of a spell, create a treasure token. Treasures you control have tap, sacrifice this artifact, add 2 mana of any one color. So if you're just creating all of these treasures with Negan and you got Dockside Extortionist guy out here, you're just filthy rich with the double manas.
Yeah, like I said, I don't run X spells in this deck, and I feel like I really should now. Because I didn't expect to be able to generate the kind of mana I can in this deck, and Goldspan Dragon. Yeah, how could I have known they were going to print something this belligerent?
Right,
card's phenomenal.
So another. Another really powerful card that I kind of dismissed until I started really like getting into this deck is Pitiless Plunder. It's 3 and a black for a 1/4 human pirate. Whenever another creature you control dies, create a colorless treasure artifact token with tap, sack this artifact, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. So once again, whether we're sacrificing creatures we want to sacrifice or part of our removal package on, you know, Playcrafter-esque creatures, this card is also going to do a ton of work. There are a lot of creatures that we want to die and that want to die in this deck that benefit us in some way. And Pitiless Plunder is just a way to continue to compound that interest.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
This next card I actually have never seen. Ruthless Knave, 2 colorless and a black for a 3/2 orc pirate. And it's 2 colorless and a black, sack a creature, create 2 colorless treasure tokens. And then you can sacrifice 3 treasure tokens to draw a card. This card in your deck seems pretty silly.
So when I first put this in here, I looked at it as just like another sack outlet, which is viable. Like I never thought I would do the sack 3 treasures, draw a card. But since I've played this deck, I actually use the sack 3 treasures, draw a card more than I do anything else off this creature. It's absolutely insane. You get to a point where you can just pay 3, draw a card. Like, and there are, like I said, plenty of things in here that when you sacrifice something, something good happens for us and something bad happens for everyone else. So
I also see a cute little combo with Volrath Stronghold, Ruthless Knave, and Dockside Extortionist.
Yeah, there, like I said, there's nothing quote unquote infinite, but there are plenty of, like, you can do this as many, you know, you can do this many, many times. You just have to kind of watch what you're doing.
And then you've got good old faithful Smothering Tithe, 3 and a white enchantment whenever an opponent draws a card. that player may pay 2. If the player doesn't, they create a treasure token.
Or as now, Dan would say, you got to put your parrot costume on.
Pay the two. I see that you're making so many treasures, but there's a card that I can't see that might be beneficial to all of this in this deck.
I feel like I know what you're going to say.
Where's Revel in Riches?
So I had it in this deck originally, in my original build that was in here, and I played a couple games with it, and literally every time I played it, it was just removed immediately, which is good and bad. It meant that someone wasted a spell on one of my spells, which is, you know, that's fine because I have other things I want to keep. But every time I played it, I just could not get that win off, and I didn't have anything to really utilize, like playing anything at instant speed or what have you. So it was in here because I can get there, but most of the time it was just like a dead card in my hand, or I just invested the mana to not be able to do anything with it.
That's fair.
Yeah, I was so pumped about that. I was like, as soon as I saw Negan, I was like, oh, Revel in Riches, that's what we're doing. And I got shut down so many times. It was disheartening.
As it should.
So we're moving now on to the removal section. It's kind of, like I said, it's kind of fat for this type of deck, but I want to constantly be removing people's stuff. You know, this deck is going to really utilize the creature-based removal because we can reanimate those more regularly. But there are some really splashy, very, like, cool removal spells. So first one's Austere Command, 4 white-white sorcery. It's modal, you get to choose 2. You can either destroy all artifacts, all enchantments, creatures with CMC 3 or less, or creatures with CMC 4 or greater. This is just gonna wipe the field in any aspect you need it to.
Yeah, this is one of the ones that I do not enjoy because it's usually targeting everything that I control.
With our meta, especially, having an Austere Command is now much cheaper, so it's easier to get your hands on them. It used to be a little bit more expensive, mm-hmm. but with our meta, it's just, well, really any meta, it's just good to have because it hits so many things, and it being modal, like all the commands are phenomenal.
Next card's Dire Tactics. It's a black and a white for an instant. Exile target creature. If you don't control a human, you lose life equal to that creature's toughness.
That's pretty good.
Once again, I've never seen this card before, but I don't think you're going to have an issue. It seems like you've got quite a few humans in the deck.
Right,
but even if you lose a little life, it doesn't seem that detrimental to exile a creature.
That's kind of how I felt. This is, I'll be honest, this is a pet card of mine. Like, this probably could be a Swords to Plowshare, but I really love the art, and like, as we've talked, and as I've came to terms with Ikoria being my favorite set in Magic the Gathering, I just feel like this is very Negan-esque. You know, you see the guy jumping into a horde, or jumping into this giant monster, it just makes me think of Negan with Lucille going to a horde of zombies. Same energy. This next card I've mentioned a billion times already. It's Fleshbag Marauder. It's 2 and a black. Zombie Warrior 3/1. When Fleshbag ETBs, each player sacrifices a creature.
That one's... I'm still surprised that people haven't upgraded these to Demon's Disciple, which also hits Planeswalkers.
Same with Merciless Executioner.
So, I run Fleshbag Marauder once again for kind of the aesthetic, because it's a zombie and we're dealing with the Walking Dead.
Makes sense.
it's a little bit easier to cast with the deck, with it being 2 and a black. If for some reason I don't have the right setup yet, or my mana has to be very specific because I have double and triple of things, 2 and a black is more reasonable than the 1 black and a white for the Demon's Disciple. Or
Demon's Disciple is the exact same card.
It was
2 colorless and a black. When it comes in, you...
Oh, I'm thinking of the other one. Yeah, I just like Fleshbag because it's a zombie and it fits thematically.
Makes sense.
This next card, I just read the flavor text, so I'm gonna grab this one. So it's Go for the Throat. It's 1 and a black, and it's an instant, and it's destroy target non-artifact creature. And the flavor text is, having flesh is increasingly a liability on Mirrodin.
That's awesome.
So some of these just make me laugh.
This is just one of my favorite removal spells in the game. I was playing... like one of the first standard sets I really, really got into and tried to really work and like do well at was during the new Mirrodin block, Mirrodin Besiege block, and Go for the Throat was just a staple. Also, Benson sent me a promo version of this card, so I'm like, it's in the deck, you know.
It has to be like, used.
Yeah, it's a sentimental thing, and it's just great removal. Like, how often do you see people run Doomblade when they could run Go for the Throat?
Yep.
We're in white, so white and red, I should say. So having the ability to deal with artifacts is very easy.
And then you've got Kaya's Guile, 1 white black for an instant with choose 2. Each opponent sacrifices a creature. Exile all cards from each opponent's graveyard. Create a 1/1 white and black spirit creature token with flying, or gain 4 life, or entwine for 3. Choose all if you pay the entwine cost.
I've actually never seen this card.
That's from Modern Horizons, isn't it?
Yep. It's another card that I feel like is very underrated and just not used. Every mode on this card is absolutely insane. They're like, if I pay this at 3, I'm getting a ton of value. If I pay it at 6, I'm getting even more value. There's no mode on this card I don't see being useful. Obviously, I'm always going to choose the first one and then whatever else I feel like. If I'm dealing with, you know, other graveyard decks, I can have my graveyard. You can't have yours. That's how it is.
I personally, I think they're all very good, but I can see the top two almost always being played, and the bottom two are, if I've got the extra mana, they're worth it.
There is something to be said about having a creature to sacrifice in this deck. Sometimes things don't line up exactly like you would like. So having the ability to flash, you know, to instant speed, create a spirit token to block, and then have like a dictate go off is an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
fair enough.
Definitely modal spells are obviously always very good. And the ability to actually get to choose all of them for 6 is very reasonable.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy, this next card, I absolutely love this. I'd have to say this is probably one of the best cards in in Ikoria. I'll let you take this one, Zach.
So this next one, I didn't have in the deck until Brian played it against me, because I didn't understand the wording correctly, and then I was like, oh, I'm stupid. This definitely goes in the deck. It's Mythos of Snapdax. 2 white for a sorcery. Each player chooses an artifact, a creature, an enchantment, and a planeswalker from among non-land permanents they control. They sacrifice the rest. If Rakdos was spent to cast a spell, you choose a permanence for each player instead.
Mm-hmm.
Gets around Indestructible very nicely.
Oh, man. I just didn't... I don't know what my brain wasn't connecting the dots for, but... Brian played this in one game with his
my Silvire, yeah, Trin Silvire.
Your Feed the Cat deck, and I was just like, "Holy crap! Like, I'm stupid. This worked exactly like I thought it did."
This card is so good and underestimated because yes, it gets around Indestructible because they're sacrificing it, but also it gets around things with Hexproof and Shroud because you choose not target.
I was just gonna say that. I realized that there's no target on any on it. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's so good. I have to say it's up there for one of the best cards in that set. Like
it's another thing. Like all the mythos from Ikoria are insane. There's not a bad one.
And Seb McKinnon, beautiful artwork.
As always,
we
love Seb on this podcast.
And then we got our Path to Exile. So everybody should probably know this card. It's just one planes, an exile target creature. Its controller may search their library for a basic land card, put that card onto the battlefield tapped, and then shuffle their library.
And
I'm running out of these.
If you're desperate, make one of those tokens and exile it yourself a mana ramp.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't run a lot of exile spells in this deck. You can see 2. Mainly because I want creatures to die. That's it. I want you guys sacrificing creatures.
I'm actually surprised that you don't have Gracious Gift. Give them an elephant for blowing up a permanent. Because I like that card because it's a permanent. It's not a creature. It's anything.
And I definitely think like that's another section of this removal that you can tailor to yourself. I just don't run Generous Gift because I have like one copy. So it's one of those things like I just kind of have it in deck and forget about, if I'm being completely honest. But you can kind of do what you want, you know? This removal package can be whatever you need it to be. So the next card is Plague Crafter. It goes along with our Fleshbag Marauder, but this is a better version. Same cost, it's a human shaman, it's a 3/2. And when it ETBs, each player sacks a creature or planeswalker. And then if you can't, they discard a card.
Yeah, that extra little bit at the end makes it worth it as well.
I've already blown up all your creatures. No, get rid of the cards in your hand. Yeah, right?
Yep.
Sometimes you can get into, once again, loops where you can just make everyone discard their hand. Like, it's very possible to do in this deck, which just puts you a little bit further. Like I said, this isn't a deck where you're going to win super quickly. This is a more grindy deck, but you get there, and when you get there, it's sweet. The table might not be happy, so that's a conversation you have to have with your meta, but it's also one of those things that, like, it's an attrition-based deck. That's kind of what you kind of come to expect.
And it's like I run all of these, so the Fleshbag Marauder, or no, sorry, not even that one, so the Plague Crafter, no, the Fleshbag Marauder, like, all of them in my Marin deck, and that's, like, one of the things that I can constantly just loop them, and I'm just like... Mm-hmm. Enough is enough. Like, I just stop it. I'm like, okay, hey, I'm not gonna do this anymore, guys. I was like, I got rid of the problems. We good. We're going forward.
Another Ikoria All-Star.
Runus Ultimatum.
Double red, triple white, double black. Sorcery. Destroy all non-land permanents your opponent's control.
This artwork is so good. Like, it's so... Like, there's so much going on in it, but it's kind of depressing. But it just looks so good.
This next card,
Before we go to the next one, I just want to point out, this card, Ruinous Ultimatum, is 7 mana, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you get upset with Cyclonic Rift, but you get your cards back to your hand. This just destroys them.
Mm-hmm.
This is insane.
But I think it's that it costs 2 red, 3 white, and 2 black instead of a blue and a color, 6 colorless. it's more
sure
difficult.
That you won't have that problem in this sort of deck.
not with the treasures.
So sorcery. So there's something to be said about it being sorcery speed, so it's a little bit more telegraphed. Once again, like when I built this, I was like, Negan's quote unquote bad guy. This is in Mardu, this is the bad guy card. You know, as General Kudrow, like text, the art is just, man, it's depressing. It's very good, but it is depressing. I feel like it fits the theme very well. And the ultimatums, once again, another cycle from Ikoria that we got is just amazing. There's not a bad ultimatum. So it's like, I couldn't not play this card.
The next card, Soul Shatter. I didn't realize how good this card was until recently. I kind of dismissed it early on when Zendikar came out. And then I had it played against me and realized how powerful it truly is. It's two colors and a black for an instant. Each opponent sacrifices a creature or planeswalker with the highest converted mana cost among creatures and planeswalkers they control. So instead of getting some dumb 1/1, or you're going to get their haymaker or the thing that they want to keep around the most.
Yeah.
You know, super friend decks are a thing. This isn't like anti super friends, like deck tech or anything. This is just like, we're getting good value. I'm looking at this as always getting a creature from my opponents, but if this hits a planeswalker, you know, getting rid of a Tezzeret the Seeker or a Narset or Oko, like it's good value.
I've gotten Oko'd way too much lately.
Yes.
Well, your next one, Verona's Hunger, two and a black for an instant with Ascend. So as long as you cast this and you have 10 or more permanents, each opponent sacrifices a creature. If you have the City's Blessing, instead, each opponent sacrifices half the creatures they control, rounded up.
Which, if you're getting all of those treasures, those are permanents while they're there. Like, you can have 10 so easily, and then goes, half my board, all my sapperlings, just cry.
Yep, it's one of those that is just good. Like, it's another card that people kind of forget about, and when you play it, it's like, wait, it does what?
I think something cool with this too is like, when you try to catch people that are like, they've got a ton of creatures in play and they cast Crater Hoof Behemoth, they're gonna try to kill the table, and you play this in response, and
oh, it's an instant.
Yeah, they've got to sack half their things and their math is no longer correct. The Crater Hoof probably not wasted, but it's not going to kill the table. Might only kill one person.
The person that cast this?
Likely.
If you're doing things right, this deck is going to put you far enough ahead that you can eat a couple Crater Hoofs if you need to. Also, I brought this up a couple of times recently, but I'll bring it up again. With so many elf decks running around right now with that awesome precons that we got for Kaldheim, like, a deck like this is very viable for different metas, just because like getting overrun is a thing. You know, this is not, once again, an anti-meta deck by any means. It just kind of like, it works well to any kind of token based strategy.
Anti-crowd decks.
Yeah, COVID's still a thing, guys. 6 feet apart. Let's just make sure you're 6 feet apart. No gatherings. All right, so that was our removal section. We're going to go into our draw section. So we have Faithless Looting. We all know what Faithless Looting does. We have Night's Whisper, another just simple draw spell. I want to get into one of my favorite cards. And I actually, for Christmas, my wife actually bought me the San Diego Comic-Con version of this card. It's God Eternal Bantu. 3 black for a legendary creature, zombie god, 5/6, Menace. When God Eternal Bantu enters the battlefield, sacrifice any number of other permanents and then draw that many cards. That alone is insane in this deck. You can sacrifice treasures, you can sacrifice lands, you can just any permanent. It's
That's
insane.
Sweet. I didn't know there was a San Diego Comic-Con version.
Yep. All the zombie gods got a San Diego Comic-Con, and I believe it's the Planeswalker Bolas.
Nice.
I think so, yeah.
Is it the blacked out artwork?
Yep.
Nice.
I haven't updated my Archidect here to show that, but yeah, that's here. Yeah, this card is just nuts. And then it's another thing, if you can get into loops, where I did this in a game where I was able to bring back Dockside Extortionist, and I would sacrifice Bantu to something else. It goes 3. Oh, I should read that too. when God Eternal Bantu dies or is put into exile from the battlefield, you may put it into Owner's Library third from the top. There are multiple times in a turn where I was able to play Dockside, net a bunch of mana, play God Eternal, sacrifice Dockside, do some other stuff, bring Dockside back, sacrifice Bantu to something else, and just generate a ton of value. And a 5/6 Menace is nothing to scoff at.
No.
You know, if you're if you're doing this right, they're not going to have more than one creature. Like I said, we've talked, we know what Night Whisperer does. It's draw two, lose two for two.
You say Night Whisperer, although it is a good card, I would personally run two and a black, read the bones.
Mm-hmm.
It's scry two, draw two, lose two, lose life. Two. I just think the extra mana to scry two, personally, is worth it. But Night Whisperer is still a very good card for black.
So it was one of those things where I run Read the Bones in a lot of my decks, and at the time I just didn't have an extra copy, but I had an extra copy of Night Whisperer. If you look at my Archidect, and I think Ryan has talked about this a lot when I've showed him my decks, you can tell what I had on hand in my collection versus what I actually had.
There's always like a couple little cards in decks that you're just like, why would you run that? They're vastly better cards. And Zach's like, well, it's what I found in the binder when I was binder diving.
I think it's part of my charm when I deck build.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Another staple for black decks, Phyrexian Arena, one black. At the beginning of your upkeep, draw a card, lose a life. This next turn I'm actually super excited about. We just got out of Kalaheim, and it fits the theme very well. It sees the spoils. It's two and a black for sorcery. As an additional cost to cast a spell, discard a card. Great. Gives me something I can throw to the graveyard to bring back. Draw two cards and create a treasure token. Everything this card does is what we want to do in Negan. We're throwing cards away to reanimate later. We're getting to draw cards, and we create a treasure token for three mana. Like, I don't see any downsides for this deck, or for this card in this deck.
I love this next guy.
We'll take it away.
He is super cool. We got Yawgmoth, Thran Physician. Two and two black, legendary creature, human cleric. Has protection from humans. And you can pay one life to sacrifice another creature to put a -1/-1 counter on up to one target creature and draw a card. Pay two black to discard a card and proliferate.
The proliferate, meh. You get to discard a card for two black, which is kind of why he's in here. But the real reason is being able to sack a creature, draw a card, and its removal.
Well, if you get a -1/-1 counter on, say, something big, say that you've already nuked the board. Or you got them to sacrifice half their creatures, that Crater Hoof finally comes in, and then you can just whittle them down. If you have all of those cards in your hand, you can just discard with your treasures. Like, I've seen the treasures you've made, sir. Yeah.
There's also something to be said, too. I didn't build it this way, but it is very viable. You can make this more of a combo-centric deck, and having Yawgmoth and something like Murderous Redcap, you know, a creature with Persist, or not Persist,
Undying.
Sorry. So not Murderous Red Cap, but something like whatever the butcher's called. But being able to just bring creatures back constantly because you can get rid of the +1 counter with a negative counter. You can do a lot of very degenerate things. I'm not doing that in this deck, but like I said, it's something to be talked about. So that's our card draw section. It's kind of light. That's fine. There's so many ways we can draw cards, and the ways we can draw cards are in other sections. So that's there. Next thing I want to get into is our aristocrats. These are ways that we are going to kill people just by sacrificing things. So Blood Artist, one in a black, 0/1 vampire. When Blood Artist or another creature dies, target player loses one life, you gain one life. It's needed.
Yeah.
Cruel Celebrant, another aristocrat, white and a black, 1/2. When Cruel Celebrant or another creature or planeswalker you control dies, each opponent loses one life, you gain one life. So this is going to hit the entire table. So when you're getting into your loops of Docksides or Bantus or what have you, Cruel Celebrant's going to drain the table and you're going to gain life.
And we got
I love Goblin Bombardment.
Me too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Lotus, this is kind of your shtick here. You wanna?
Yeah, one and a red for an enchantment. Sacrifice a creature. Goblin Bombardment deals one damage to, I believe, any target nowadays.
Yeah.
I'll just check that, but it's... I love this card so much. I play it in Tiny Leaders.
It's a great
card. Yeah, it's...
For Uncommon, too, it's a pretty expensive card.
Yeah, it is any target.
This card is kind of... The price on Archidek isn't representative of what it actually is, because it's one of those list cards, so like if you're seeing it on the screen, it's way... That can be adjusted. But it's just good because... It's an enchantment, so it's less likely to be dealt with as, you know, a creature removal. And being able to target anything is very important in this deck. You know, whether you have a specific person, you just want to kind of just remind them that, like, hey, you need to settle down over there with coming at me. Or if there's a potential Planeswalker Oko problem, it's good.
Yeah. As Dan always says, people don't run enough enchantment removal.
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't see Feed the Swarm in your removal package, actually.
Because we're playing white, I lean more towards that, because once again, I only opened a couple copies.
Yeah, that's fair.
I only opened a couple copies of Feed the Swarm, so they went in my more like Rakdos and Mono Black decks.
But then you are running Austere Command, so that's fine.
Yeah, Lotus, I think you should take this next card too, because this is another Tiny Leaders card that you have destroyed me with.
Yeah, so Mayhem Devil, one black and red for a 3/3 devil. Whenever a player sacrifices a permanent, Mayhem Devil deals one damage to any target. And yes, my Tiny Leaders deck is basically those two cards in a nutshell.
Yes. Mayhem Devil is very tricky. I don't realize like how it's actually worded. So whenever you're going to pay to crack your... fetch land to go get a land of shock into play, that's going to be 4 damage as opposed to the 3. And whenever you sacrifice your Evolving Wilds, or if you have treasure tokens you decide you want to sack, or someone else
that you've made.
I just noticed that that's any whenever a player, so you could just use your treasures and kill people.
Nuke the table. Yes.
Yep.
Money is power. And this goes to show that. Last two are best friends. We're just going to get through them real quickly. Viscera Seer, one black. Sack a Creature Scry, one. And Zillaport Cutthroat, one to black, 1/1. When Zillaport Cutthroat, another creature you control dies, each opponent loses one life, you gain one life. Card's so, I would say a very typical Aristocrats package.
Yeah.
But you can't argue with the classics. That's the thing. Like, this is what I want to do in this deck. These are some of my favorite cards to play, so they're in here. So the creatures we want to be sacrificing are in this fodder section. These are some... I was so excited to build this deck because I get to play with a lot of these creatures. So the first one's Bloodgast. It's double black for a 2/1 vampire spirit. It can't block. Bloodgast has haste as long as an opponent has 10 or less life. Can be relevant. Landfall. Whenever a land ETBs under your control, you may return Bloodgast from your graveyard to the battlefield. This is a very fun card. Just being able to get Bloodgast back for basically playing the game is great. There's no downside to this. Just good. Nether Trader is double black. For a 1/1 spirit with haste and shadow, which can be relevant. This creature can block or only be blocked by creatures with shadow. Whenever another creature is put into your graveyard from play, you may pay 1 black if you do return Nether Trader from your graveyard to play.
It's another
card that where if you have both, like, you know, Bloodgast and another trader, and you sacrifice Bloodgast to something, or you sacrifice Nether Trader to something, make a treasure, and then you sacrifice Bloodgast, you can just get Nether Trader back. It's very good. It used to be much more expensive. Thankfully, Time Spiral Remastered really fixed that stuff.
I'd like to see Shadow come back.
Yeah.
Let's see another one that has a Shadow ability.
I would love to see a Commander like for Shadow.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that'd be neat.
I'd be all over that.
I think it might, and while I agree with you, I think that might also be a bit intimidating for new players to pick up a shadow deck, and then they play against their friend and everything in their deck can't be interacted with.
Yeah, it'd have to be you'd have to make it a specific way to deal with it, but Yeah. Nether Trader's sweet. Does anyone else want to take the next couple?
We got Reassembling Skeleton, which is one in a black. It's a skeleton warrior. And you can pay, again, the mana cost, one in a black, to return reassembling skeletons from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. Like, it's a lot of these cards I ran in my Yawgmoth deck because you have to recur those creatures to use his ability just to keep going and getting value out of it. And the next one here, we got Skyclave Shade, which is one in a black and creature shade. Kicker, two in a black. Skyclave Shade can't block. If Skyclave Shade was kicked, it enters the battlefield with 2+1/+1 counters on it. Landfall, whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, if Skyclave Shade, it's like a tongue twister here, is in your graveyard and it's your turn, you may cast it from your graveyard this turn. And then we have the Immortal Squee. The Immortal, for one and two red, I just realized. legendary creature goblin, and you may cast Squee the Immortal from your graveyard or from exile. So it's just a good all round. If someone or yourself accidentally remove it or exile it, you're able to always get it back. Value.
Yeah. Yep. So those are our fodder creatures. These, we can sacrifice any creature in this deck and it'd be fine, but these are the creatures we want to see. We want to be able to constantly just throw them away and bring them right back. There is no rest for the weary in this deck. Our ramp package is pretty what I consider straightforward for myself. Arcane Signet, Burnish Heart. Burnish Heart's great because it sacrifices itself to go get lands, and that's relevant. Phyrexian Altar is the one I really want to touch on. If you're unfamiliar, Phyrexian Altar is 3 for an artifact. You sack a creature, add 1 mana of any color. I'm running that instead of Ashnod's Altar because we have so many specific activated costs in specific colors. If we have the treasure tokens, awesome. If not, this is just allowing us to get into loops where we can maybe recast Nether Trader or something else very specifically, because we are seeing a lot of double and some triple pips. So having an outlet to be able to specifically get that color is awesome. Soul Ring, Wayfarer's Bauble, and Solemn Simulacrum, another. I always put Solemn in a lot of decks because I have a lot of decks that reanimate, so being able to ramp when he ETBs, draw a card when it dies, just can't go wrong. The next section is not for the faint of heart, so you might want to mute the podcast or skip it for the next couple seconds. We're dealing with Grave Pack here. So Butcher Malakir is our Grave Pack on a creature. It's 5 black-black for a Vampire Warrior, 5/4 flying. And whenever Butcher Malakir or another creature you control dies, each opponent sacrifices a creature. So this is where we get to the more oppressive side of Negan, because people are going to be sacrificing creatures a lot, because we're going to be killing our own creatures a lot for value.
Yeah.
Any of the next, the 3 cards we're talking about in this section hitting the battlefield is great. I've had times where I've had 2 on the battlefield and it was glorious for me and just abysmal for everyone else, which I'll be honest made me happy.
You're a bad person.
Yep. If I'm gonna play a bad guy, I'm gonna play a bad guy right.
Yeah, that's true.
Does someone want to take the next card?
Sure. Dictate of Erebos. 3 colorless black-black enchantment. It has flash. And whenever a creature you control dies, each opponent sacks a creature. This card is wicked.
Yeah.
I don't know why they put flash.
They literally took Grave Pact,
which is the next
made
card.
Made it cost 1 more and give it flat. Like, I would all day long take 1 more mana for flash.
Yeah.
Flash is an amazing mechanic.
And like I mentioned, the next card's Grave Pact, and it does the exact same thing, except it does not have flash, and it costs 1 less mana.
Well, colors black, black, black. The triple black is can be relevant.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like I said, you don't need to have these cards on the battlefield to do well with this deck, but once they are on the battlefield, you'll notice the deck kind of supercharges. Like, once they hit, things start to get real, real wonky. If you're a newer player and you're interested in playing this deck, that is something I kind of want to touch on now. It can be a little bit overwhelming with your triggers. So just kind of be paying attention to the board and what you've got going on. This is a very fun deck to pilot, but there are a lot of intricacies going on, so just breathe and take it slow.
I also find, especially a kind of a warning to new players, our card, those three cards can make you the arch enemy at the table really, really quick.
They make you a Brian, and you die first.
If you're playing this, yep. If you're playing this deck right, though, life ain't but a thing, baby. We're gonna be so far ahead; it doesn't matter.
Commander damage, so, though.
Yeah, we can. You know, we can deal with that. So the next section is one of my absolute favorite sections to talk about in any deck. It is my reanimate section. Almost every deck I play has a dedicated section to this.
Zach, can I talk about the first card, please?
Yes, go for it.
This is one of I literally think this card is in every single black deck I own, and I think it should be in every black deck you own. It's Agadeem's Awakening. It's X, black, black, black for a sorcery. Return from your graveyard to the battlefield any number of target creature cards that each have a different converted mana cost, X or less. And then it's also a modal dual face card. So on the backside, it has Agadeem the Undercrypt, which is a land, and it enters the battlefield. You can pay 3 life. If you don't, it enters the battlefield tapped, and it taps for a black.
So it can be a bolt land.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't think I have ever cast this card and not had it been amazing.
Yeah. Our fodder section is a little clunky because a lot of our creatures are 2 and then squeeze 3. But we have so many creatures that are of different CMC that playing this card for 5 is going to net you a ton of value. And yeah, you can just use that to just make people's feelings hurt. Does someone want to take the next card?
This is the most convoluted Magic card with the wording.
Ah, Tony.
Oh, right. Okay. So you want me to do Animate Dead, yeah?
Yes, please.
I feel like...
Okay. Feel like so Animate Dead is 1 and a black. It's an enchantment aura. Enchant creature card in a graveyard. When Animate Dead enters the battlefield, if it's on the battlefield, it loses enchant creature card in graveyard and gains enchant creature put onto the battlefield with Animate Dead. Return the enchanted creature card to the battlefield under your control and attach Animate Dead to it. When Animate leaves the battlefield, that creature controller sacrifices it. Enchanted creature gets -1/-0.
I prefer the old wording so much more.
It's wow. It's just so much.
It sounds like a lot. Basically, Animate Dead. We animate a creature with this and it comes back from the graveyard.
And it gets weaker.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, if Animate Dead was to leave the battlefield, you sacrifice a creature. Also kind of relevant.
So the next card is Luminous Broodmoth. And I absolutely love this card because of its Mothra art. Love it. Mm-hmm. I went out, I hunted this card down. It is mine. But so Luminous Broodmoth is 2 and 2 white. It's an insect. Flying, whenever a creature you control without flying dies, return to the battlefield under its owner's control with a flying counter on it. Oh, my creature dies and now comes back with wings. Like, amazing. This card's so good. I love it in my Trin and Silvar deck because I'm going for the same thing.
So, with Luminous Broodmoth and the next card I want to talk about, I kept talking about getting into loops. Luminous Broodmoth is one of the cards that we can get into loops with. They're not infinite by any means, but you can double and sometimes quadruple up on ETBs or creatures re-entering. It just depends on how you stack things and what you have on the battlefield. But Luminous Broodmoth is going to ensure we at least get 2 ETBs off of a single creature. So in the game that I played with Brian, where I had God Eternal Bontu and Dockside Extortionist, I had Luminous Broodmoth in my hand. So I was able to play Luminous Broodmoth and sacrifice some stuff. They get flying counters, came back. I was able to make, I think, like 30 something treasures a single turn because I had a Luminous Broodmoth.
Yeah.
It's kind of pricey for sure, but in this type of deck where you're sacrificing your creatures, it's so good, and it just means that we can block more efficiently too. You know, people are going to be mad, they're going to be salted about a lot of things that we're doing in this deck, so being able to like block with Negan and then Negan comes back with a flying counter on it
and you choose the player that attacked you.
Exactly. And it opens up the ability to Voltron Negan, which is, there are some cards in here that we can do that with. The next card is my absolute favorite black card ever printed. I put it in every black deck, and that's Phyrexian Reclamation. It's one black for an enchantment. It's one in a black, pay two life, return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand.
Yeah.
There's nothing bad about this card. Absolutely nothing. Life is a resource, and in most situations, if we're returning a creature from our graveyard to our hand, we want to be doing that, and the paying the two life is inconsequential. So like I said, this is a situation where we can get into loops with creatures, you know, replaying our dark side, replaying, you know, I don't know, a Cruel Celebrant or something that we sacrifice with Yawgmoth because we just want to, or bringing back a creature that someone thought that they dealt with. No reanimate section of any of my decks would be complete without reanimate. It's one black sorcery. Put target creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. You lose life equal to its CMC. All right, so we soul shattered and got rid of something big and nasty. I'm for one mana, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to reanimate that creature. Yeah. And I'm going to hit you with it.
Forget when I play these, like especially reanimate and animate dead, that it's not just your graveyard, it's any graveyard.
Yep.
I think sometimes you're so focused, you just take care of your own.
And that's another fun thing. Like, I like playing with other people's stuff. It's fun, you know? I don't like the cards Brian plays, but I like playing with the cards Brian plays.
Yeah.
So being able to do that is great. And that's why I chose those two specific reanimation spells.
To take Brian's stuff.
And and then we have the old tried and true. We got Sun Titan for 4/2 white. Vigilance, whenever Sun Titan enters the battlefield or attacks, you may return target permanent card with converted mana cost 3 or less, which is a grand majority of all of Zach's fodder.
Yep. And the stuff, like, our aristocrats are all 3 CMC or less, so this is going to ensure we have at least one of the two creatures, or one of the two things on the battlefield. My animate dead, it's not reflected in here, but it should have been the Graveborn art. That's actually Sun Titan coming back. This card being white is silly. It should have been black, but it's still cool.
This next card's Victimize. It's 2 colors and black for a sorcery. Choose 2 creature cards in your graveyard. Sacrifice a creature. If you do, return the chosen cards to the battlefield tapped. This card is berserk.
Yep.
I can't believe it's an uncommon.
I can't believe it costs 3 mana.
Everything about this is insane. In this deck, there's once again, it's another card that is supposed to have a downside that just doesn't.
Like, the card's like 5 mana to reanimate a card, and there's no downside. Like, this card's downside is actually an upside in a lot of decks.
Exactly. I don't know. My reanimation package, like, can be tailored more towards your playstyle. This fits my playstyle and what I think and what I wanted to do with the deck for sure. So you can switch some stuff out. There's some really interesting white reanimation spells that I've found that I've thought about putting in here. But as it stands, this is what I've been playing and this is what I've been like happy with. So we get into our utility section, which is going to be one of the last sections. We'll touch over some lands that I think are kind of notable. But our utility section is cards that I just couldn't really justify in one place or another. The first one's Anointed Procession. It's 3 and a white for an enchantment. If an effect would create one or more tokens under your control, it creates twice that many of those tokens instead.
Double your treasures.
Yep.
We're just going to make treasures, a billion double treasures. Your fun.
And then we got Conjurer's Closet for 5 colorless. At the beginning of your end step, you may exile target creature you control, then return that card to the battlefield under your control. It just bouncing, getting the double of triggers off with certain creatures, or just Negan, making sure to get those treasures, or Dockside.
And that's another way that you can build this deck is more of a flicker focus. I didn't really want to go that route. I think Conjurer's Closet is just too good to not add, but there is definitely a build that you can do with Negan where you're just constantly flickering Negan and getting a ton of value.
See... this next one, Cosmic Intervention, this card alone, I reckon people should buy that pre-con. There are so many good cards in that deck, and this is one of them. So it's 3 and a white for an instant. If a permanent you control would be put into a graveyard from the battlefield this turn, exile it instead, return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. You can also pay one and a white and play it from Fortel. So this will protect from all board wipes.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling this card is down the road, like when that precon is out of stock, like out of print. I have a feeling this is going to be a card that's going to slowly really creep up in price.
This card reminds me what Teferi's Protection used to be.
So this is a card that like you guys have heard me sing praises about. We've talked about it in our host chat, and it being $5 right now just blows my mind. I've been picking up multiple copies because it's insane. In this situation, you can literally, like how I typically see it being used is I'm going to sacrifice everything and then just bring it back at the end of the turn. Like, I'm not looking at this as using it as a protection spell. I'm using this as a kill spell in a lot of regards, you know? But it's one of those cards that is very universal. You can do it for use it for a lot of different strategies and use it for a lot of different things.
Does this work with treasure tokens?
I don't think so. No, because a token would just disappear.
Next we got Dream Devourer, which is one and a black. It's a demon cleric. Each non-land card in your hand without Fortel has Fortel. Its Fortel cost is equal to its mana cost, reduced by 2. And then whenever you Fortel a card, Dream Devourer gets +2/+0 until end of turn.
So this is one of those cards that I have been testing out in the deck, and I've been surprised with how good it is. There are a lot of, you know, we've seen people with mill, we've seen a lot of different things where your hand just gets destroyed. If you're playing this deck, there's a chance you're going to get targeted. So having cards foretold is a way to protect yourself in the long run. And it puts people on a swivel, like, do you really want to attack me? Because who knows what I have foretold?
I still can't believe that card exists.
I really like it. It's one of those cards you could probably switch out for something else. I've been enjoying what it's capable of doing. It's just interesting. We don't see a lot. We don't have any effects like this. So, General Enforcer, one in white and a black, legendary humans you control have indestructible. This is just another way to protect Negan. Imperial Seal. I have an Imperial Seal, so here it is. It's just one of the tutors that I'm running.
If you want to. If you want to make this deck less expensive, put Vampire Tutor in.
Wow.
put Demonic Tutor in.
I have. It's there.
Or Diabolic if you really want to cut the cost.
Lightning Greaves. We're going to protect Negan. That's what this is here for. This next card we are going to talk about because it's amazing. It's Lucille. It's the like special card that you got from getting the Walking Dead Secret Lair. It's one in a black for a legendary artifact equipment. Equipped creature gets +2/+0 and has Menace. I'm sorry. Whenever equipped creature attacks, defending player sacrifices a creature. If they do, you create a walker token. It equips for 4. Nothing about this card is bad.
No. Not at all.
It does everything that you want to do. Literally everything. Sidisi Undead Vizier is another amazing card in this deck. Death Touch, exploit. So when this ETBs, you can sack a creature. When Sidisi Undead Vizier exploits a creature, you can search your library for a card and put it in your hand. And it's a 4/6/5.
I really like the search feature that you get on her.
There's no downside for this card for this deck. You're going to sacrifice a creature, probably making someone else sacrifice or the entire table sacrifice a creature, net 3 mana and get a card.
Yeah, it's a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
The next card, Sneak Attack, 3 colors and a red for an enchantment, and you can pay 1 red. You may put a creature card from your hand onto the battlefield. That creature gains haste. Sacrifice that creature at the beginning of the next end step.
Again, forcing someone else to also sacrifice other stuff.
Yeah.
Lotus, there are no timing restrictions on on Sneak Attack, right? I could pay red and just flash in a creature, essentially.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what I thought. This is new tech for this deck. I just took it out of Grixis deck that I had because being able to pay one red as opposed to, you know, some of the mana prices for other cards is going to be super vital. And being able to do it at flash speed is a problem. Brian, you take this next card because I feel dirty for playing
This one surprises me.
The next one is Zach's most hated card because everybody uses it against him. It's Teferi's Protection. It's 2 and a white instant until your next turn. Your life total can't change, and you gain protection from everything, and all permanents you control phase out. Exile Teferi's Protection. In all of my decks, basically, that run white, because I'm always the one dying first, so I need to protect myself.
I hate this card so much that I play it. I was forced to play it. Shoutouts to Brian and Andrew from Elder Dragon Skyplander for forcing me to play this card because
such a gotcha card.
I've been blown out so many times because of this card that finally I was just like, fine, gotcha. I'm going to play it. I did, however, get a proxy of this. Mine is Negan's Protection, and it shows him with the other people from his group, like, fighting off a horde of zombies. So, like, once again, I'll post pictures of all that, but
I have to.
Yeah, Brian's got me so many times with that card. Brian's like, I need to die or I win. So I'm like, I can kill you this turn, and I swing out with lethal, and he's like, oh, protection.
I talked her into a swing. Turgrid, God of Fright. This is, every time I see it, all I hear is our lands in Dan's voice. So it's 3 and 2 black. It's legendary creature, God Menace. Whenever an opponent sacrifices a non-token permanent or discards a permanent card, you may put that card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. It's a 4/5, and it's a modal as well as Turgrid's Lantern. It's a legendary artifact. Target player loses 3 life unless they sacrifice a non-land permanent or discard a card. So pay good. 3 and a black, untapped Turgrid's Lantern. So just, there's so much value for Negan on both sides of this card, but if you play it as actual Turgrid, you get so much value. I'm the sacrifice my blah blah blah. You mean our blah blah blah. I'm taking that.
I have not got to play Turgrid yet out of this deck, but I'm real excited about it. The last card in our utility section is Taisa Karlov. It's 2 and a black-white for a 2/4 legendary creature human advisor. If a creature dying causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time, and creature tokens you control have vigilance and lifelink.
I was going to say, it doesn't trigger Turgrid twice, right? Because then you can't only grab that card once.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
But it does trigger Negan.
Yep. Not cool.
And Fleshbag and
all of them.
Mayhem Devil. And, so yeah, the creature token thing, whatever. The creature dying triggered ability to happen again. Super important. Amazing. I just want to run over a few lands real quick, and we can get into some closing thoughts. So I have Baseju, who shelters all. Like I said, I've been thinking and playing with the idea of putting some X spells in here because I think I need some different ways to close out the game, and having so much mana production, Baseju is a land that I feel like is going to have to be used if I start to go that route. It's a legendary land, and it ETBs tapped. You tap it, pay 2 life, and you add 1 colorless to your mana pool. If mana spent this way is spent on an instant or sorcery spell, it can't be countered by spells or abilities.
Nice.
I'm going to Torment of Hellfire for 30. Oh, I'm going to counterspell. Nah, I'm paying this with Baseju.
Yeah.
Command Beacon, now super affordable. It's a land, tap it for a colorless. You tap it, sack it. You can put your commander from your command zone into your hand. Negan is going to get hated on super hard. Command Beacon makes it easier to play Negan.
And a lot of if you bounce Sun Titan, you can get it back.
Yep. Phyrexian Tower, legendary land. You can tap it to add for colorless, and then you can tap it, sack a creature, add double black. Another way to sacrifice creatures that is typically not dealt with, because it's a land.
Yeah, not a lot of.
And Ryan, I think Ryan brought this up earlier, but Volrath Stronghold, another legendary land, you can tap it to add a color to your mana pool, and you can pay one to black to tap it to put target creature card from your graveyard on top of your library.
I'm surprised with these recent reserve buy list buyouts that this card has not gone up.
Same. But so that's my Negan deck. I think it's a very powerful deck, but I don't think it's the upper echelon of decks. You're basically required to be left alone to build a board state, so it's not very aggressive off the rip. But once you get to like a mid-late game point, this deck just blows people out. That's not to say you can't have fast games or fast turns with this deck. It's just, it's a grindy deck. This is where you're going to sit down and you're expecting to have a longer game because that's what this deck is meant to do. It is expensive, but I definitely think there are a lot of cards you can swap out and kind of pull back on. You know, you don't need the
Imperial Seal.
the original duels can go.
You've got cards in here more than a deck sometimes that I build.
Yeah, and a lot of that was just like I was lucky, you know. I was playing, you know, we talked about this. I was playing Legacy before Deathrite Shaman got banned. So like my lands, for example, I have the actual lands because I was playing Mardu Reanimator. So those lands have tripled and quadrupled in price since I bought them. Imperial Seal, I have a proxy of, but it fits the theme. Like I have Negan. I have Negan with his iron, like putting his mark on Dwight. Like there are a lot of thematic cards in this deck as well that you don't necessarily need.
If you get rid of the three duels, Imperial Seal and Volrath Stronghold, this deck's very, very affordable.
Yeah, it's not very expensive in reality. You know, a lot of our cards are super cheap. A lot of recent reprints have made these cards much more affordable too. This is also one of those decks that like I don't get to play very often because it is very polarizing. You know, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, some people just have a very negative connotation with the Walking Dead commanders. So like I have dealt with that where I've been excited to play it and kind of got crapped on, and it sucks because I really enjoy this deck. I put a lot of heart into this and you guys know how much I love it. So like,
and I guess that's one thing that you're a big fan of the show. And that's when you saw this announced, you were super excited to play it. And you know what? I see like the lights start in your eyes when you pull out one of these decks. And you know what? I wouldn't say any of these decks are like super OP or anything. Like I think I've played every single one that you've built so far. Yep. Which
I have three of the five built.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed playing everyone except for this one because you killed Silvala so many times. and that's the only reason that I have a grudge is because you killed my baby so many times. But
yeah, I do think like while I don't think Negan is overpowered, I think he's a pain in the butt to play against, just the card itself, not the deck. Just because like if Zach doesn't want something on the table, you're not gonna have it. And if you're not smart enough, you're not going to have that, and you're not going to have something else.
Yeah.
You got to be friends with me. Just like yes. Negan, you're coming under my protection. You're paying me for your protection. a couple other things like I want to get into with closing thoughts. I do think that, like I talked about earlier, this is a more quote-unquote experienced player deck, I feel like. I think new players can pick this deck up. If you have any interest, like please reach out to me and I will help you build a deck. I love this deck. I love brewing like this. But there are some lines that do get kind of convoluted and can be kind of, like even I get overwhelmed on screen, especially when we're doing like the webcam games. So take your time. That's the best thing I can tell you with decks like this. There are a lot of triggers that are going to happen. Just be patient, work it out. But
if you're playing with a reasonable player group, they will help you. Don't be shy to ask for help. And if you really don't know any interactions, just tag me in the Discord. I will happily explain anything.
So any time of the day.
Lotus helps me all the time. I just love this deck. It makes me so happy. You guys know how much I love this. When we talked about that, you guys wanted to do this episode, I was like, I'm still smiling about it because I really enjoy this deck. And I want you guys to enjoy it too. You know, you might not like playing against it, but it's a very flavorful deck. It's a very synergistic deck, and this is me to a T. It's like, it's very branded to me. If Negan would have been Abzan, oh my god, I would have cried.
And with that, make sure that you check out all the rest of our content. You can find all of our videos, other shows, Brewing It Live with Lotus and Han. We have Parallel Thoughts with Necrozak and Benson, who unfortunately wasn't here today. And then you can find all of our past episodes as well on our YouTube page, or you can visit our one-stop shop, intothe99.com, where we have links to all of our content, all of our socials. You can find articles written by other content creators. Dante Informal is one of them, and Gathering the Magic, I believe, 97, which is Hayden, and a lot of other ones. And Lotus has written some for us. Necrozak has written some for us. His Heroic Intervention articles. There's just a ton of content. You can find links to other ways to support us, our merch store, our Patreon. Go check them out. Thank you to all of our supporters, all of our patrons, for your support. It means so much to us. And also, make sure to check out, there's a lot of alsos, we've got just so much going on, our sponsor Etch Gaming. You can find them on Etsy. I believe it's etsy.com/etchgaming. They're just makes great play commander play trays, tokens, counters, deck boxes, just outstanding product. Make sure to check them out. And I believe with that, that's everything. Have a great day, guys, and we'll talk to you next time.
See ya.